Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. If it's Tuesday, it's that throwdown on Tuesdays. It starts it all off. It is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, and I mean that dearly each and every week, Kip Gross. He's in Hawaii today celebrating a little Valentine's thing. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, stuck in Los Angeles where it's still about 39 degrees at night. Feel like I'm in Pittsburgh, but that'll be a story for another day. 347-205-9631 gets you to the front of the line. Anything after that, archive version, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic at the luau out there in Hawaii, Kip, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, boy, there's a lot to talk about with the Super Bowl and spring training now starting up. And, boy, this is going to be a great one, brother.
Yes, it is, Mark. It's going to be a good one. I'm doing great here in Maui right now, seeing my girlfriend and doing some stuff here. And it's beautiful weather, 79 degrees, just a little bit of hint of breeze going through the air. And looking at the ocean right now as I speak. And you can hold me by kipgross.com or beagamer@gmail.com. And, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Super Bowl was good. And but who knows how those games go anymore, according to Vegas, you know. So it's let's get after it and have some fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the blue waters out there, you can't beat that. Hawaii's beautiful. I haven't been there since I got married. It's been about 37 years I've been to Hawaii. But, man, that is nice. And the luau's are nice, the food's nice, the people, oh my gosh, it's going to be a great atmosphere out there.
It is, you know, I just had to go to the store a little while ago, and everybody's so friendly, and, you know, everybody's in flip-flops,
yeah.
And they've got all their T-shirts and their muscle shirts on, and it's good fun here, it really is. It's just a little low-key back, you know, and nobody really gets too wound up around here, like I am half the time, and, but it's so nice here, Mark, I can't even tell you how good it is. I left Arizona, you know, the other day, and it was I had to wear a jacket to the airport. It was so cold, and I didn't fly out until the afternoon either. So it was freezing. Everybody in the airport had jackets on and coats. I'm like, dude, this isn't how Arizona's supposed to be. But hey, it is what it is, and I don't really care what they're doing right now because I'm here and having a good time and on the radio with you. So we're good.
Yeah, definitely, brother. Each and every week as we tear up the airwaves, the Pro Bowl used to be out there. They moved it out of there. It's kind of sad, and now they got this flag thing going around, and, you know, who knows. We just completed the Super Bowl, and a lot of money was spent in Vegas. You know, if you weren't buying a $22,000 ticket, they lowered the price for the cheapest seat to about $6,700. Thank God I've seen a Super Bowl, so I can care less. If I get on the outskirts of New Orleans next year, that's perfect for me because I've never been there. But, man, oh, man, somebody's got money out there. The corporations or somebody, they're doling out money to actors to do their commercials. And so, you know, regardless of a recession or a post-recession or whatever you want to call this thing, it's crazy to see how much money was thrown in Vegas this past weekend.
You know, Mark, I've been talking about this a little bit. You know, once I heard the price of tickets out there, you know, they were 87 and they lowered them down to, okay, whatever, 6,500, whatever it was. You know, I'm not really a big fan of that because, you know, all your true football fans that follow the games all week or all year long, go to the games, support their teams, whatever, they can't even go to the games because they can't do it with the money, the prices and everything out there. I got a friend in Vegas. He helps out in the casinos and gets people around and does a lot of work for people that come into Vegas. He said they were expecting, he said there was 500,000 people that came to Vegas just to watch the game in Vegas because that's where it was. 500,000 people. That wasn't even the people in the stadium. But if you look, you know, what they were showing during the game, it was, you know, it was just actors and football players and basketball players. And that's what I'm saying. They're just pricing the regular fan out. I don't think that's right. I think they got to figure out a way to lower those or do something different for the people that actually go to those games. I mean, I would guess that probably at least three quarters of those people didn't even see a football game this year. Didn't even see one. You know, they go because of the glitz and the glory, and that's not it. I just don't think that's right. I think they got to figure out a way to make it right for the regular fans.
Well, yeah, it's like the idiots that go out there and buy the hat of a team that's in first place and they don't know two guys on the team, but yet they're a fan of the team and it's the end thing to do. It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. We broke the Super Bowl down, you know, the last couple weeks, and the way I look at it, well, a conspiracy theory came front and center for me. You know, with this whole Taylor Swift building it up, 100 most watched Super Bowl ever. So I guess, you know, let's take care of the people that take care of us is the way that I looked at the NFL. Taylor Swift is bringing in the Swifties and all that. Let's get these guys. And you know what? If it smells like a rat and looks like a rat, it's definitely a rat. I kind of figured, even if I was going to go with San Francisco on this thing, someone told me that they're trying to market the Kansas City Chiefs. First time in 19 years, back-to-back champs. Let's make Patrick Mahomes the next Tom Brady. And, you know, with the Swifties coming in here and drawing a big crowd, hell, let's give them the Lombardi. I don't know. That's the way I looked at it, and that's the way I'll stay with it.
Yeah, you know, the conspiracy theories, you know, I'm on one shoulder with it, on the other shoulder I'm not. I mean, like we were just talking in the pregame, you know, if Moody makes that extra point, you know, San Francisco wins in regulation. So is it or isn't it? And, you know, I was really proud of all those players on the field, though. Everybody played really good. I was really, really kind of upset, though, when Kelce went over and bumped his head coach over there. I just, you know, being an athlete all my years and I've done all these things, that's just a no-no. You don't do that. I don't care if your emotions are going to Super Bowl, whatever. You've got to turn the idiot off of you right now and play football and not worry about it. Let that head coach be the head coach. That guy's won more Super Bowls and he's done so well over the years. You let that man do it, his job, and you do yours. And when he went and bumped Andy Reid, I just thought that was absolutely terrible for football. And then the Swifties thing, you know. I actually counted how many times they showed her during the game 11 times, and then after, well, everybody knows when they did the trophy presentation how much they showed her there with Kelce. But, you know, it is what it is. I had no problem with it during the Super Bowl just because it's a glitz and glory again. But it was a good game overall. But, yeah, I mean, everybody played good. They really did. You know, Mahomes had one interception. Purdy didn't have any. And the kickers all kicked everything great. I mean, both kickers set Super Bowl records when they kicked their first field goal for distance during the Super Bowl. So you just missed that extra point. It's just the craziest thing, and that's kind of how they lost.
Yeah, and you know what? Getting back to the thing with Kelce bumping Andy Reid there, you're right. I think this is a guy that's kind of fallen off a little as far as how he started. I mean, you know, ever since he seemed to be dating this, you know, Taylor Swift, it just seems like the guy's got a persona that, you know, see, it takes a long time to get up a mountain. You don't want to roll off overnight, but the more and more I hear this guy or see this guy, it just seems like, you know, the humbleness is gone by the wayside or it's fallen off the cliff. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but, yeah. You know, he's starting to read his 15 minutes of – yep. I think he's starting to read his 15 minutes of fame. And I think, you know, when you forget where you started, and maybe we'll see this thing play out as they open training camp and everything else, and if they're still together, and, you know, it goes into next year and see what happens. But, you know, money changes people to a certain extent unless you can stay your footed in the cement and not be waived by that. But this guy looks like, you know, the 15 minutes of fame has changed them a little.
Well, you know what, Mark? I'm with you on that 100%. You know, after the game, he gets up there, they give him the mic, and he does his thing for Vegas, and it's like, what is this? I mean, is he a kid or what? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a great athlete. He's been great for football and all that stuff. But I just got to go back to that. I mean, you're on national TV. Everybody's watching you around the world, and you get up there with the microphone and start doing the Viva Las Vegas and all that stuff. Yeah, it's fun, I guess, but. But it's almost showing another side of you, who you really are. And the other thing that I really, really want to say out there, when he went up to Andy Reid and bumped him like that, a couple of weeks ago he threw that helmet on the ground, too, after he came out of the game. He's got a little temper problem. He's got a little temper problem. So old Swifty might want to watch that a little bit down the road and keep him away from a temper because she might be the next one that gets bumped. So I'm just, you know, you see these things, and it's like you got to learn to control your anger during a game. You know, being a baseball player all the years, you know, you just can't do that. You've got to keep, you know, an even keel all the way through all the time. And he's showing a different side this year of who he is. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
15 minutes of fame is, hopefully he doesn't go anymore. But you see that. It's like, why are you doing that? You know, and then he's got to have a player pulling him away. And it's I was actually surprised Andy Reid did not take him out of that game. I was really surprised. But, you know, it's a Super Bowl. What do? You're trying to win it.
So yeah,
I think that's what I'm going to say.
Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania goes, check out some actors that are kind of a humble case in point. Christian Bale, try to compare him with Travis Kelce. It's like night and day. Yeah, Christian Bale's a hell of an actor. And, you know, he's a humble guy. I like Christian Bale a lot. Great call out of there. And I don't know what your take's on that when you start comparing athletes with actors and vice versa. But, you know, you think it, you always remember, and I'll tell you this one, Chip, you know, covering baseball for a while and sports and everything, you'll always remember the guys that'll give you the hard time. And then the other guys you'll always remember, you'll never forget them that have given you the time. I can remember talking to a Chick Hearn, a Vin Scully, sitting down with them, and, you know, they'd open it, you know, they'd be really cordial and everything. And, you know, Barry Bonds, Deion Sanders were good to me. And the only ones that you kind of, you know, you'd kind of think that, and you'd say to yourself, wow, where'd that come from, was Felipe Alou. When I was thanking him for the interview, I said, you're a class act. He stood up thinking I was calling him an ass, and I kind of looked at him, you know. And Charles Barkley was kind of a little, you know, when I told him, I said, I'll wait for an interview with him. He said, no, you'll get it now. And Kenny Lofton told me to make an appointment. So those three guys stood right out with me. But being blessed to interview the Derek Jeters and some of these other guys, I mean, and you know, it was unbelievable. So, you know, you'll always remember the great ones and the ones that'll kind of look at you a little different. But and I'm sure you've seen that with reporters as we get into that one next week.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, I played for Lou Piniella in Cincinnati, and you know, that was kind of one of the things I thought about right away when Kelce bumped into Andy Reid. Lou would have sat his ass right then and said, and probably traded him, you know, in the offseason, said, no, you're not doing this. I remember my first spring training in Cincinnati. Randy Myers and I got traded over Cincinnati from the Mets, and I remember sitting there, and Lou Piniella was there, and a couple of other coaches, and they're talking about Randy Myers. How he, you know, how goofy he got, and you know, he's driving the hearse in Cincinnati and all that stuff. He had fake hand grenades in his locker or whatever. And they were telling Lou about who he was and what he did. And Lou just right there in front of me and a couple other players said, you know, if he's a problem, we'll just get rid of him. it was that simple. And that's
the nasty
you're a manager
boys.
And a head coach. Yeah, you've got to do that. You've got to take control. Here he got in a fight with Dibble, you know, in the locker room in the clubhouse that time. That was right in front of me, by the way. And it's just, you know, that manager is taking control, just like Andy Reid, I think, should have done that in Super Bowl. I mean, who knows why he didn't do
right.
it, but
yeah.
you know, he sat him when he threw the helmet, but he didn't in the Super Bowl. And I was kind of disappointed with Andy Reid with that, but you know, they won. So what do you do?
Victor from Silver Lake coming in. He said, I don't know if you guys saw it or you guys are too busy. Shohei Ohtani took some swings yesterday, 21 to be exact, 10 were home runs. Dodgers are going to do some damage. I'm going to opening day. You guys are breaking down prices the last couple weeks. I don't care. Nothing beats going to a Dodger game, paying a high price, and having a great seat in the sun when you guys are cleaning out the snow in parts of Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Victor's revved up. Here, see, this is the battle, and you know, it's funny. I was talking to Tarek Brock, the first base coach, Thursday, as they were getting ready to go to Bradenton for the Pirates spring training. We'll get into that, but this is where the Dodger fan comes out on me, Kip. I mean, they're getting excited because some guy hit 10 home runs out of 21 swings. That when do you start counting exhibitions? The Lions went 4-0 or 5-0 one year in preseason, and then they started the regular season and went 0-16. So I don't know. These Dodger fans are getting pretty antsy, and we haven't even got the spring training yet. But Victor's correcting us, saying Nothing beats the high price ticket with the Dodger dog and sitting in the sun while we're battling the snow. He's forgetting we live in Phoenix and Los Angeles.
Hey, Victor, I just got to let you know something. I played in Japan for 5 years, and I can almost guarantee it was the Japanese media that was did the 21 swings and the 10 home runs, because they did that all the time over there. They always give you these numbers like, well, who's counting? You know, it's somebody throwing batting practice to him. He doesn't have pitchers. And I'm gonna throw one other thing out about Shohei Ohtani. As good as he is, and I do, I think he's one of the greatest players in baseball, no doubt about it. But he's going to another league now. He's got to learn a bunch of different pitchers.
Yeah.
And I think he's gonna have a slow start over there a little bit, especially with that contract and what he's getting. Because you know he was only getting like $30 million the last couple of years, or what, I don't remember what it was, but it was just 1 year deal. And now he's got that 7-0 behind his name and $700 million. And there's going to be a little different expectation in L.A. than he had in Anaheim. And it's going to be interesting what he does. I hope he does well. But at the same time, he's got to learn a bunch of new pitchers.
Well, not only that, when you break that down, Kip, the way you broke it down is perfectly loud and clear. And, you know, you'll sit there and you'll hear these Dodger talk or something, and they'll come out and talk about Yamamoto winning 16, 17 games and everything. I get a kick out of people. They start tripping over their shoelace because they get caught up in the hype instead of letting it play out. I mean, this is a guy that's about 5'8", you know, 120 pounds dripping wet. Let's see what he does. I'm not counting the World Baseball Classics. Yeah, they're great over there and stuff. But you're going to go through 162 games over here. You're going to get about 20-something starts. We're going to see what you're all, you know, about. And you're right about Shohei Ohtani. I've always said this. You get into the National League, you're going to get into 3-2, 2-1 games, and you can't make as many mistakes. I don't want to knock the American League, but it's quite a different league, the junior circuit and the senior circuit. And you see those pitchers coming over, and you've seen bold leagues coming over, the transition and everything. It's quite different. You had the DH over there, and you can bombard the lineups. You get into these other things, you're going to see a lot more different sides of pitchers. And like I said, 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, 4-3 games, you're not going to get them big 10-8 kind of games in the National League. Am I right or wrong?
You're 100% right on that one. That's a definite. Yeah, it's and you know what? The one other thing that you were talking about, Yamamoto right there, and I'm going to bring it up just like I just did with Shohei Ohtani. He's coming over now to the big leagues over here where he's not pitching in Japan. Things are different over here. You know, all these years, over the last 10 years or so, the starters, what, they go 5-6 innings, they're done. In Japan, you're expected to go and finish your game. You're expected it. So they're going to start taking him out of some games just because of pitch counts or whatever. And he's going to like, why am I coming out of this game? So you've got to kind of expect that. But until it actually happens to you, you know, it's like, God, you know, I'm still good to go. But here they are, you know, analytics say, no, you start giving up hits your third time around, whatever. They're going to yank you, especially the Dodgers. I mean, Roberts is so analytical, it's crazy. And we talked about it many, many times.
Yeah.
I think he loses a lot of games in the playoffs just because of how he runs his squad with analytics. And, you know, a manager like Lou Piniella and Dusty Baker, those kind of guys, they don't use a lot of analytics. I mean, people say they do because, you know, the organization says, yeah, we have analytics, and they got to talk about it. They can't, you know, the manager can't sit there and say, yeah, I don't use analytics when they have an analytic department.
Right.
Because now you're kind of throwing them under the bus. So everybody says, no, they do use analytics because they say they do. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. And I know Dusty Baker is an old-time manager. So some of these guys, but Roberts, I think he's going to start pulling, you know, some of these guys and whatever. It's a different game out there from here to Japan.
Well, and not only that, we've talked about it, and Roberts is, you know, he's in no man's land. I mean, when I look at it, it's almost like a dead man walking. I mean, if they don't, it's going to have to be World Series or bust this year. He's going to be gone, and I hate to say it, but the other guys kind of secured and joined at the hip with Ohtani in that press conference when he goes, you know, I can opt out if Friedman's out or this other guy's out, but Roberts wasn't included in that. So to me, Roberts is a dead man walking. He knows he has to do something this year, and it's sad because, you know, I kind of look at Dave Roberts to a certain extent like I looked at Jim Tracy and Don Mattingly, consistent winners, but if he didn't get the World Series, they were kind of showing the door. And I think Roberts will be showing the door. I hate to say it, but if they don't do anything, he'll be the first guy out. The other guy's got a passer. And to me, and I've always said this, Friedman is playing on, you know, house money with his uncles and, you know, inheritances from the aunts and everybody that passed away, because he keeps getting free money every year. You know, if he had to go to Minnesota or Kansas City or one of those cities, I'd like to see what he can do. But, you know, in L.A., he's getting an open, you know, checkbook, and he can do pretty much whatever he wants with it. You know, look at two players over $1 billion. So, you know, this, let's see what this guy can do in another place. I think if they've shown – I wanted to see Roberts get the San Diego job when – the other guy went back to up north in San Francisco, but they didn't free up Roberts. So, you know, that's where I look at. But I like Roberts. I've always liked Roberts. It's Friedman is the guy that I don't really care for.
Yeah, you bring up a great point right there with if Roberts was with the Twins or with Pirates or something like that, they wouldn't have a job today. I mean, it. Like I said, you know, it's when the Yankees were doing everything they were doing and winning all the time. I could have managed them from my living room. You know, I could have got a hat every night and draw the names out for the lineup every night. It didn't matter. Joe Torre, I mean, he got paid a ton of money to win those championships over there. But look at your pitching staff. Look at your 1-9. Look at your bench. I mean, it was just deep as deep gets, and that's what Robert has. It's like you said, he's got an open checkbook. You know, it's pay these guys whatever just to bring a championship. I honestly, I did not think he's going to have a job this year after losing in the playoffs last year. I mean, I don't understand it. You know, sooner or later you got to make a change. And like I said, when your bullpen can't even throw a pitch later in the year because you've already had 60, 70 appearances and your whole bullpen is like that, it wears on you. And I'm just not a fan of that. So. I know he's a great guy because I know a lot of people that know him. And say, yeah, he's a really good guy. He's a player's manager, but at the same time, you got to win that big one when you've got a payroll like he has, and he just hasn't done it except the extended spring training one, and that was it. So, I'm with you though. I think he's got to win this year. He's gone.
Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass. Says this show all match up to WEEI out here any day of the week. You guys are in your face. You bring up the facts and you keep correcting them. And I'll tell you, the things that we got going back and forth, the 100% and everything, man, they're sound checks, buddy. We hit it and we lay it right out there. And thanks, Dalen, for giving us the props out there in Beantown. But we've laid it out, you know, tremendously across the board on all these things. We're seeing something maybe somebody else is overlooking or trying to put a facade on. And getting back, and you know, we'll get into Dodgers all year with this thing, but I just don't understand, you know, in bringing in pieces, how come, you know, if you're in the movie industry and something flops, you're going to correct it the next time around. To me, the Dodgers keep convincing themselves when they get eliminated that everything's okay because we'll just load up during the winter meetings. It's a far-fetched thing. It kind of reminds me of what's going on in San Francisco with the Niners, what happened to the Buffalo Bills 4 years in a row. It just doesn't make sense. And I mean, I know the Dodger guys will come out on me and say when they win a World Series playing 162 games, they'll shove it down my throat. I know they will. But till then, it's just that they keep convincing themselves that, you know, this is the year. And it's almost like running up a mountain with a shotgun looking for a wolf every month, and there's no wolf.
Yeah, you're right. The Los Angeles Cowboys.
I mean, the Lakers don't stand pat. The Lakers will not stand pat. They'll go out and make corrections every year to solidify that roster, whether it's a trading deadline or not. The Dodgers are one of these teams that you know, they keep convincing themselves we'll bring back the Max Muncy's batting 200 to hit 35 home runs. How do you think this guy's going to hit 300 when he hit 200 the last two seasons?
Yeah, it's baseball's that way, Mark. And it's that, you know, one thing I was told a long, long, long time ago when I first started playing professionally in the big leagues, if you're a 230 hitter, guess what you're going to hit next year? You're going to hit 230. If you're a 300 hitter, guess what you're going to hit next year? You're going to hit 300. And it's been like that forever, and that's what I don't understand why these teams are signing some of these guys for what they're signing him for. It's just fiscally impossible to me to win. And then like you're talking about with the $1 billion on two players. And it's like, where are we going with this? You know, now everybody on your team looks at you differently. And, you know, you got Yamamoto, like you said, he's 5 foot nothing coming over here. And he's going to expect to do a lot for that team. And, it, you know, if he starts losing a few games, that media is going to be sitting right in front of him. And in L.A., man, I mean, you got the media up the yin-yang. And they're not going to let you forget it. They're not going to let you forget it. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different for these two guys over there.
In the last 4 minutes, and I know the spring training is going to have to carry into the reporters next week, but when the Corbin Burnes, signed in with the Orioles, and the Orioles did made that, you know, they bought the team, it was sold, and they bought the team. The first thing they did was bring in Corbin Burnes, and they had good young pitching there. They brought in a leader there, and here's where I get on the Dodgers on that. If you wanted to get my attention maybe these guys are going to do something this year. Getting Burnes from Milwaukee would have been the thing, because there's a proven Cy Young winner. He's a workhorse. He'll eat up the innings. He could be a leader at the start to get everybody else behind him. You failed to do that. You went out and you got Yamamoto here that's unproven in the States. To me, that's where you set yourself up. So the Dodgers, to me, are thinking in the back of my mind is, we're just going to out-hit the hell out of you, and we're going to be in a lot of 10, 11 games. And we're going to, you know, they've almost built themselves like the Oakland A's did in 88, where they stopped, you know, Canseco and McGuire and all those guys. And, you know, they didn't have the pitching to compensate it. And that's to me, if you line up that much bats in your lineup, good pitching will stop good hitting. And we've talked about that numerous times.
Yes, it is. 95% pitching is baseball. And, you know, one of the things I also want to say about those Japanese guys coming over here and, you know, Shohei, if he don't have somebody hitting behind him over there, it's going to be a different story over there, because, you know, they say, well, the walks, but, you know, walks don't drive in runs. And that's what he's going to be expected to do over there in L.A. is drive in runs and hit home runs. And I like I said, it's going to be a different league. Different pitching. He's going to have to get used to it. If he starts out in a little slump, who knows where that year is going to go? You know, if he starts out hot, then who knows what will happen too. But I just think he's going to have trouble with that pitching over there to start out.
Well, as we wrap this thing up, there's pretty much our first four hitters will be Betts, Freeman, Ohtani batting third, and it looks like Will Smith in the cleanup. If I'm a pitcher and I'm in your shoes, brother, I'm busting these guys inside where they can't extend them arms. And and put him in a, you know, an 0-for-25 slump. You're asking, you know, Freeman to come in and you know, have another banner year. You know, you get kind of hard, but we'll see what Ohtani does, trying to adjust to the National League. And then you got Will Smith in that, you know, cleanup role. So after that, you know, we'll find out what this team will be made of. I still think that it's going to go through Arizona with the young pitching and Eduardo Rodriguez over there. So I'm going to hold on to Arizona in the West. And, boy, I can't wait to talk next week as we get into the spring training, what that entitles, how is it when you first get there, and we'll get into the reporters. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, boy, as you enjoy yourself out there in Hawaii.
Yeah, kipgross.com and beagamer@gmail.com. And, if you guys get a chance to ever get to Hawaii, get over here, and it's Maui is my favorite island by far. We might do a little island hopping here in a couple of days, but it's so beautiful right now, and the weather's great. That little spring or that little breeze is out there. We were out yesterday having a little lunch down in Wailea, and the whales were jumping everywhere. It's just a great time to be over here right now. So if you get over here the next couple months, you can see all the whales and their little babies, and it's just a different experience. So if you get a chance, get on that plane and go over here. You got to swim over here. Get over here.
one last thing before I wrap it up. Matt coming in from Austin. He goes, yeah, I've been to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. They're not clean cities or dirty cities. Not like my city in Austin. I don't know. I haven't been to the David Koresh following in Austin yet, Matt. So we'll talk about that next week, too. I had these guys taking shots at these cities, man, where you played in when I was born, man. What are these guys? Are crazy. least we hang. You know, the Reds have won titles. The Steelers have won titles. I don't know what they've won in Austin. They keep coming up short with the Longhorns. So we'll talk about that next week with you, Matt. Thanks for tuning in. As we wind this thing up, we thank you guys for listening. Have a safe Valentine's. Spend some money on the significant other. Don't be cheap. And we'll dial you in next week, same time, same channel. Reporters and spring training. Till then, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. He's Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, as we tear up the airwaves each and every week. Adjust the mirrors, guys. We're coming for you. Till then, have a blessed one. Kip, I love you, brother. Stay safe.
I will, and aloha and mahalo, everybody.
Thank you very much.